Anand to Kuta Vaishnavindu ki, Iskand founded Acharyas, the Vanguish of the Prabhupada ki, Namacharya Shivandita Stathkur ki, MC Goho Shikrishna Chitanya Prabhu Nityana Chi Vidhikaranam Shivasri Gauri Bhakti Vindu ki, Shri Shridhar Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunjarakan Giri Gauri Bhakti ki, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Ravadi Maya Kodam ki, Ganga Maya ki, Guna Maya ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Sankirtan Yogya ki, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Samadeta Bhakta Virindra ki, Gopi Mananda. Our glorious is the sum of the motives, glorious is some of the motives, glorious is some of the motives, glorious is some of the motives. Ukam Kuloti Vachalam, Ungum Gangayati, Galin, Akritama, Mandeshi, Gunani, Taranam, Namaham Vishnu, Vidaya, Krishna, Pristaya, Tulashi, Mati, Bhakti, Vidanta, Swami, Tiramani, Namaste, Sarasvati, Devi, Gauravani, Pacharani, Vishesha, Sangamani, First of Chadi, Sitarani, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Dwaiti, Gadar, Karshi, Vasari, Gauri, Bhakti, Vinda, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I feel unfortunate in one sense that I wasn't here this morning to capture the mood of the wonderful class I heard that Devamita Maharaj gave. So I'm feeling a great loss. I've been thinking about it all day, because I'm sure that if I was here, I would probably have a deeper inspiration to speak on this transcendental subject matter. Therefore, I'm begging for his blessings, so that I may say something at least relevant to the topic we discussed this morning. Shri Ram Maharaj gave me a copy to listen to. I listened to part of it, but Shri Ram Maharaj gave me a copy of his class to listen to. I listened to part of it this afternoon, but I didn't hear the whole thing. But I understood that the essence was about the nectar of book distribution. And so Shri Ram Maharaj asked me if I would share some of my own realizations and experiences from my years of book distribution. But if I'm to speak on that subject, and I have to beg your forgiveness, I think I'll also have to speak a little bit about myself, because it's somewhat subjective to the experience. It's what I was experiencing during those years of real, when Srila Prabhupada, we felt Srila Prabhupada really pushing this book distribution. And therefore I cannot escape having to speak about my internal experiences as well as the actual acts of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And because it's relevant, I'm also going to have to speak about how I first came to Krishna consciousness. And because it's connected to Srila Prabhupada's books, and how that first contact with Srila Prabhupada drove me at a certain point in my spiritual life to realize the necessity of taking shelter and distributing his books. Because although I did distribute books for a number of years, I have to admit that my first 2 years experience of book distribution was extremely difficult. To the point that I would sometimes have tears in my eyes. Yes. I was going to speak about that too. Not only that, but my eyes would sometimes freeze closed shut. I had to put my fingers on them to open them up.
Az is előfordult, hogy ezek a könnyek odafagytak az arcomra, és pedig a könycseppek a szemem sarkában megfagytak, és ezért az ujjamon kellett kinyitni.
I first came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books in 1972.
1972-ben kerültem először kapcsolatba Srila Prabhupada könyveivel.
And at that time I was sort of like a dabbler of Eastern philosophy.
És akkor...
Dabbler means, you know, I don't know if you was playing, testing different philosophies. I had read a lot of the popular books at the time, by Be Here Now, by Baba Ram Das, and Paramahansa Yogananda, Autobiography of a Yogi. And there was another philosopher, Alan Watts, who used to speak about Zen Buddhism. Stephen Gaskin, who was a self-made guru in San Francisco, who promoted LSD as a means for enlightenment. And I was reading all those different types of so-called philosophy books. And so I wandered into a bookstore in 1972 looking for another philosophy book, more about specifically about yoga. I was developing a conception that yoga was actually more practical means for enlightenment and than just simply armchair speculation that I had been indulging in at the time. And I picked up Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. It was on a shelf in the bookstore. And the first thing I opened to was a page of the yogi sitting in meditation, showing the soul going through different chakras and going out to the spiritual world. And I thought that it looked like a good book on yoga, so that I ended up buying the book, which I laid many years later, about maybe 20 years later, I found out that the bookstore wasn't even carrying the book. One devotee had gone into the bookstore and dropped it on the shelf and left it there. The bookstore still charged me the price on the back of the book. But I found out that Bodhi Damodar had gone in
old Damodar had gone into the bookstore and just left it on the shelf, and I happened to pick it up and buy it. And I very religiously, every night before, after coming home from work, I would read Prabhupada's Gita. And then, of course, we all know what kind of transformation takes place in the heart after coming in contact with Prabhupada, after, especially after being exposed to all the other mental speculators. I don't think I need to go into detail about my own personal transformation. Except that I was deeply impressed by Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. But my realization at the time, after completing it, from reading it every night after coming home from work, was that I wasn't ready for it yet. I was thinking at the time that if I'm going to apply myself to this philosophy, it's going to take a commitment which I'm not ready to make yet. But we all know the potency of Krishna's pure devotee. And the potency that was there in Srila Prabhupada's books, I'm sure many devotees had realization of coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada's books and having their life transformed.
És ez a potenciál az otthon Srila Prabhupádnak könyveiben is, tudom, hogy nagyon sok baktában, akinek volt ez a tapasztalat, hogy a könyveken keresztül ez a potenciál megváltoztatta az életét.
I purposely tried to put the book away and forget about it.
Úgy gondoltam, hogy elteszem ezt a könyvet, és elfeledkezek róla.
Because I was quite entangled at that time with work, and so many things that people in those years were entangled with. I was working. I was a carpenter. I was working, but not much into it. I was much more into my dog and my guitar. And my girlfriend plays third. But I was working somehow. I tried to forget everything because I realized that it was too much of a commitment that I wasn't ready to give everything up. But I couldn't forget Prabhupada's Gita. Everything I did and everywhere I looked, I was starting to see everything through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And I gradually watched my world around me collapse. It took approximately about nine months since the first time I came in contact with Prabhupada's Gita.
És ez a dolog olyan, hogy 8-9 hónapig tartott azután, hogy először megkaptam Prabhupádnak a Gitáját.
Because after I got Bhagavad Gita, then I sent away for Krishna book.
Miután megkaptam a Bhagavad Gitát, akkor utána jutottam hozzá a Krishna könyvhez.
And then I got first canto, first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam.
És akkor utána az első éneknek az első kötetét.
And I had not met any devotees yet.
És még mindig nem találkoztam egy baktával se.
And nobody had preached to me, nobody had said anything to me. There's a, that whole world was changing. Directly from Prabhupada's books.
Actually,
it's not true. I did see devotees once in 1971. I was working in Boston and I was fixing up a place that was called Pregnancy Counseling Service. I was remodeling it. It was actually a abortions clinic. They call it Pregnancy Counseling Service. And I heard the devotees going by outside the window, and I started yelling obscenities. That was my first contact with devotees in 71. And then I saw them at registration at my university in registration in 19, later that year in 19, no, maybe that was 1970. Actually, no, 1970 I saw. That was my first meeting in
1970.
I saw a devotee there when I went to register for classes in the university. There was a devotee sitting there with a book display. I didn't show any interest. Although later that day I saw that same devotee, he was sitting behind my dormitory and he was chanting japa, and I remember watching him thinking, it looks kind of spiritual. But from the time of getting Prabhupada's books to the time that I actually moved in the temple was about a period of nine months. And that during that 9 month period, my world just collapsed around me. And I realized that it was Krishna, you know, felt it was Prabhupada and Krishna calling me. And I had started visiting our temple in Boston in the late 1972. No, early 1973. And but it was a period of time when they weren't really letting people move into the temple right away. They put you through a test. If you really wanted to live in the temple, you had to sleep on the cold concrete floor in the basement before they would let you move upstairs and become a devotee.
Az volt a teszt, hogy a hideg folyosón a lépcső alatt kellett aludni, és hogyha ezt kiálltad, akkor mehetél fel a felső szintre, ahol a rabták lettek.
So, I was determined. I just kind of disappeared. I left my work, I left my girlfriend, I left my guitar.
Én elég elfekélt voltam, elvettem a munkámat, elvettem a barátnémet, elvettem a gitáromat.
And I came to the temple and I said, like, you know, I thought, like, here I am. I'm ready. Krishna's, you know, I'm ready for to take up Krishna consciousness. And they said, no, we don't let people just move into the temple. So, but if you want to stay, you can stay. It was a really cold basement. I mean, it was a concrete floor and it wasn't level. And all I had was this real thin sleeping bed. So that I had to stay there for, I think, 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, they said, okay, you can come upstairs now. And then I kept on saying, well, I want to shave my head, I want to shave my guy of hair all the way down to the bottom of my back. And I said, please let me shave. And they said, no, we don't let people shave their heads right away here. So finally, after like two more weeks, they never had anybody like me that they had to shave up. They didn't know how to do it. We didn't have buzzers in those days. All they had were these dull scissors. And then a razor. And my godbrother, Srinath Das, shaved me up for the first time. It took him about an hour. And after he finished, it looked like I'd just been in the battlefield. My head was bleeding all over the place. And right after shaving up, they said, okay, here's your book bag. Now go out and sell books. The very same day. So they handed me a bag, and I think we had at those times a little book called Reservoir of Pleasure. And they just dropped me off in the middle of downtown Providence, Rhode Island, and then said, now sell Prabhupada's books. So, as you can imagine, it was right from that very first day, it was a shock to the central nervous system. I had a shaved head. I had a sika that was all the way down. I was standing in the middle of Providence approaching people, and I didn't know nobody told me what to say, what to do. And this was generally the kind of experience I had all during out those first years of Krishna of book distribution was desperation. Desperation? It's another word for desperation. Feeling. Yeah, I felt like I was drowning in an ocean, and had nothing, looking for something to hold on to. And usually the thing that I would hold on to was remembering how I got Prabhupada's book and became a devotee. And I had also, and one other thing that I had two things I would hold on to. I would hold on to that, and I had one lecture that Srila Prabhupada had given in early 1973 on the teachings of Queen Kunti. I have a little cassette tape of that. And before I moved into the temple, I used to listen to that cassette every day. And Prabhupada said it in this one lecture. He says, when one first comes to Krishna consciousness, Maya will test you to see if you're coming to serve Krishna or disturb Krishna. And he was describing how The material world is like an ocean, and there is always so many disturbances in the material world. But in the middle of the ocean, if one takes shelter of Krishna consciousness, then he can cross the ocean. So it was that I was always remembering that lecture in the early days that Maya is going to test me. To see if I was coming to disturb Krishna or to serve Krishna. And book distribution during those first years for me was so difficult that I didn't want to go to sleep at night because morning came too fast. And I knew the next morning I'd have to get up, go to Mangal Arati, chant my rounds, take prasada, and then I'd be out in book distribution. So sometimes I would lie awake all night just looking at the ceiling, not wanting to fall asleep. Because it was the only way I could find some time for solace, to not have to worry about going out on book distribution. And I struggled like that for 2 years. Sometimes I'd have to come back to the temple and do service in the temple. And then sometimes the temple president would say, okay, try to go out and book distribution again. And I would be crying, trying to approach people. I wasn't a very outgoing person, and I remember just approaching people many times with tears. They were not ecstasy. They were not compassion. It was tears of almost desperation. I don't know how to have any other word, for desperation. Looking for something to hold on to. And then one day I got this realization. It was after 2 years of attempting to distribute books. And somehow I got this realization in my heart that I have this debt to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, during these years, we really felt he was pushing book distribution like anything. And I got this realization that I have to make a vow that I will not stop distributing Srila Prabhupada's books this time. And I was thinking, if I don't distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, I'm finished. My spiritual life is finished. I have to make this vow and then I become so determined that I will not leave book distribution this time. And that very same day that I made that vow, my temple president called my Sankirtan leader and said, tell Niranjana, he has to come back to the temple. He's the only Brahmin available for cooking. And I was thinking, what is Krishna doing to me? And I got on the phone with my temple president, Ajahn. And I started arguing with him. You don't understand. You don't know what I've gone through to get to this point, to make this vow that I'm going to stay out of the stupid Srila Prabhupada's books. You can't do this. I said, I'm sure Prabhupada would want me to stay out here and distribute his books. I have that determination now. Why are you doing this to me? And he wouldn't listen to me. He said, no, you have to come back and cook for the deities. I never cooked before in my life. I didn't even know how to roll a chapati. In fact, every day I was cooking, when I came back from cooking, the temple president used to get a taste. He always used to get what they call a taste plate. They taste each preparation that the cook makes.
És akkor, amikor főztem a templom prezidentnek, volt egy ilyen kóstoló tálca, így hívta, hogy minden preparációkból egy picit rá kellett tenni.
And I would ask him, how was the lunch offering today?
És akkor mindig megkérdeztem tőle, milyen volt az
offering. And he would say, you make great lemons. And that was it. It was the only comment I could get. And I would go in the kitchen. I had to make the daily sweets and cook four offerings a day. And the daily sweets and the Mangal Arati sweets and breakfast, lunch. I had to cook for the devotees, and I had to do the fruit offering. I think I was in the kitchen for something like 10-11 hours. And the temple president told me, after you finish cooking, you should go out and Harinam Sankirtan, because I was the only one to go out and play Madanga. So, please forgive me for thinking about myself, but I generally don't do this, but this is to show Prabhupada's potency. I hope. So I developed this internal conviction that instead of going out in Harinam, Prabhupada wants me to distribute books. And the temple president brought me back to cook. So I was doing my cooking. So I used to bring my sankirtan clothes down in the basement outside the kitchen and hide them. And then every day after I finished cooking, I would go into this little room in the basement and I would change. And so the temple president wouldn't see me. I would change my clothes. And I would sneak out of the temple and go and distribute books in Harvard Square. Anyone who knows about Harvard Square is a place where it was the most difficult place to distribute books. It was one of the most prestigious. It's one of the most prestigious universities, Harvard University, I think in the world, isn't it? And the students who go there were are very affluent and they're very very puffed up, very proud.
És azok a tanulók, akik oda járnak, ezek nagyon felfoglalkodottak, büszkék.
And to even get them to stop was very difficult.
És megállítani őket, az nagyon nehéz.
But every day I would do all the cooking in the kitchen and I would sneak out and I would go to Harvard Square for 2 hours.
És minden nap, miután befejeztem a főzést, kiszöktem a templomból, és elmentem a Harvard
Square. And I would just approach anybody, I would just stop anybody somehow trying to sell them a book.
És bárkit valóta voltam megállítani, bárkivel megpróbáltam csak eladni egy könyvet.
And one day, I got this taste that I just cannot describe.
És egyik nap megkaptam ezt az ízt, amit nem lehet elmondani.
It's the taste that you get when you know you're pleasing your spiritual master.
Azt az ízt, amikor tudod, hogy elégedetté teszed a lelket.
You know, there are just no words to describe it. In your heart, you're feeling that you've actually captured the heart of your spiritual master, and he's pleased, because you can't experience that kind of satisfaction unless you know the spiritual master is pleased.
Nem lehet ezt a szavakból enteni azt az érzést, amit akkor érzel, amikor ott van a szívedbe és érzed, hogy elégedetítetted a lelkét, amint a mesteredet, hogy az ő szíve és a szíved közvetlen kapcsolatban áll.
And I was just feeling so blissful, like I was in the spiritual world. And the temple president started to ask me, "You're really enjoying the cooking in the kitchen, aren't you? You look so blissful these days." He said, "Aren't you glad I brought you back from Sankirtan now?" I just wouldn't say anything to him. I never told him where I was doing. Nobody ever told him that I wasn't going out in Harinam Sankirtan like I was supposed to go. So this went on for a few weeks.
It
wasn't a very long time.
It was
a period of maybe three, four weeks. And finally the temple president found out that I was sneaking out of book distribution. And he called me up to his office. And he had some keys to the van in his hand. And he threw the keys at me. He said, "Here, these are the keys to the white Sankirtan van. Get out of here." And he sent four other devotees with me and he said, "Fill up the van and just go out and distribute books." And during those days we used to fill up the vans so high with books, you know, that there was no place. If you wanted to sleep the first night, you had to sell enough books that day so there'd be room to sleep. And so we just loaded up the van and we didn't know where we were going, but we just went out on book distribution. And you know, needless to say that was the time when finally I was able to stay out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada just gave me some mercy.
És nem is kell mondanom, de ezekben az időkben olyan egyértelmű volt, amikor ott kint voltunk, hogy szankítan, hogy Prabhupád mi is kegyet ad nekünk.
Prabhupád one time, I heard this quote, "The devotees who travel in vans and distribute my books, they get my extra special mercy."
És hallottam egyszer egy idézetet Prabhupától, hogy azok a bakták, akik így...
And at least, I never saw that. Did you ever see that anywhere? I heard you said it in Atlanta.
Excuse
me? They go back to Godhead. And I remember thinking that Prabhupada said they get extra special mercy, and I was getting so much mercy, I'm thinking, this extra special mercy must be something really special. So we would go out and distribute books 7 days a week. And on Saturday nights, we would stay out until 2 o'clock in the morning. We would go inside restaurants where people were sitting and eating, and we'd approach people at the tables. We started to devise different ways to find people when there were no people outside. Or when it was just too cold to stand outside. I remember I would go inside the supermarkets and I'd stand in the back of the supermarket and I'd say, "Welcome to Shas." Shas supermarket. I would take my coat off and I'd have a little badge on and I'd stand in the back of the supermarket. And I would just distribute Prabhupada's books and as if I was supposed to be there, I was part of the store. And we were welcoming all the customers to the store and giving them this free sample, giving them this sample of literature for them to take. It's during this time also we used to use incense to stop people. We had this strawberry incense that we would hold under people's noses. We used to know everyone who was already approached by the red line under the nose. We always tell them, "Here, take it, smell it," and they would put it right under the nose and it would leave a red mark. And we used to buy this real cheap incense from this local company that made it, was made from camel stool. One time I approached this man, he smelled the strawberry incense, he went, "Wow!" And he took it, he pulled it right to his teeth and he ate it. And then he says, "Do you have another one?" How we used to get people to stop with this incense, and then we'd hand them a book. And this is the way we were able to distribute. We found ways to distribute books when it was really, really cold outside. But of course, it's illegal. But what is legal and what is illegal in those days, unfortunately, I don't know if I should talk so much about what the things we used to do that was illegal. I've been arrested, so I used to get arrested so many times for illegal solicitation. Because I was standing, I got attached to being inside in the warm department stores and the supermarkets when it was really cold outside. And the only way you could do it is you just had to block out and you really just had to block out everything and make believe that you really belonged there. If you would stop just for a second and think about what you were actually doing, you'd fall onto the mental platform and you wouldn't be able to continue doing it. So you really had to be convinced that you belong there. And these people needed these books. Sometimes it's just amazing the way the Yogamaya potency would just cover everybody. We would sometimes stay in these stores for hours, and all the people would be walking with their baskets, and everybody was going walking through the store with incense and books in their shopping cart. And they were all going to the cash register, you know, buying their groceries, and they'd all have books and incense in their shopping carts. And people from gradually, when you see the place is too saturated, I get my coat and I disappear, and I go in the other department store on the other side of the shopping center and stay there as long as I could.
És akkor az emberek mentek fizetni a pénzt, nem az, és akkor ott van megint a szájdróban, hogy a táskájuk, a könyvünk, vagy egy füstölem, de nagyon ritka volt, hogy észrevették, és akkor csak fogtam a kabátot, aztán átmentem az ára, az másik oldalára.
Of course, sometimes it wasn't always like that. Sometimes I would get caught right away.
Aztán nem mindig így történt, néha kidobtam.
And I remember being out in the parking lots, minus, you know, 10-20 degree weather. During the huh? Yeah, that's it. Minus 10-20, 10-20 below. It was so cold. And we used to sleep in the vans in those days. And I remember one night our vans were not insulated. We used to stick a little heater inside the van and heat the van while we slept at night and in the winter. One night I woke up and my arm was frozen to the side of my hand. All the hairs were stuck on the floor. We used to work 12 hours a day. And I remember, it's just, you know, the kind of austerities. We would wake up in the morning, and in the middle of the winter, we'd take buckets, and we'd, in the middle of the snow, and bucket showers. And I remember, this one story. There was one time, my godbrother, we used to distribute books, he used to offer some basis for like 5 minutes before going to sleep. One night I woke up, it was about 2:30 in the morning, and he was still offering his basis in the back of the van. He had fallen asleep completely off his knees. He's on his knees with his head. But we did very long hours, and we would go out to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'd end at 9 o'clock at night. And I remember many times that during the day would be so difficult. It wasn't like from that day on that I got that mercy from Prabhupada that every day was blissful, believe me. Although I got the mercy, the opportunity to stay out of the Srila Prabhupada's books, there were many tests. And sometimes during the day it would be so hard, but then always my common experience is by the time, if you stayed out all day long, we had a rule that on Saturdays, nobody would take prasadam that day. Because it was good all day Saturday. Because the shopping centers are always busy on Saturday, people who go out to buy things.
So
we take breakfast, but that was it. And we used to eat so much that our legs would wobble for the first 3 hours from trying to keep ourselves awake from approaching people. And then, but that was our policy, that on Saturday we just distribute no stopping for reading, no stopping for prasada, nothing. From 9 o'clock to 9 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, just distribute books. And sometimes it would be really difficult because you know what it's like when nobody's taking. But if you just stayed out there and just kept on trying, by the time the evening comes, you start getting some results and some taste.
De hogyha kimaradsz folytatod, és ott vagyok, amikor a napnak vége van, akkor is lesz valami eredmény is.
And then by the time it's time to go, you don't want to stop.
És amikor eljön az ideje, hogy vissza kell menni, akkor nem akarod abba hagyni.
Many days like that.
És nagyon sok ilyen napok volt.
If you just get that mercy at the end, because you stayed out and you just distributed all day.
Hogy megkapod a kegyet csak azért, mert kimaradtál, folytattad, és egész nap osztottad a könyveket.
I have this one story. There's a lot of stories. This is one interesting story.
In 1977,
actually, it was just after Prabhupada departed, and we had this huge Prabhupada marathon. That was the Prabhupada departed in November, and then that was the year when, you know, that we just knew that if we want to please Prabhupada, he's gone now, that we have to do the biggest marathon we've ever done to
Prabhupada.
And during that time, I was in charge of a Bhakta book distribution training center. All the new devotees in the whole Northeast, they would come and I would take them out and train them on book distribution. Devotees from New York and Boston and that area in the Northeast United States. And my god brother Pragosh, this is a not the Pragosh of Montreal, but Pragosh, who was a real big book distributor during the 70s, and for years afterwards as well. He came to distribute books at that center. There were about 15 distributors, all bhaktas. So on December 23rd, our GBC had said that the person who distributes, the top book distributor for this day will get Prabhupada's kirtan. Pragosh, he was really a big book distributor. He would distribute lots of books. You know, he would easily go out and distribute during the marathon 100 big books a day. So we had one bhakta, his name was Bhakta Jack, who was actually later known as Chad Bharatdas. We used to call him Jack the Ripper. I don't know about Jack the Ripper or what's what. <It's>... Never mind. He was also a very good distributor. And there was a competition that day to win Prabhupada's kirtan. And devotees stayed out all day, you know, whoever was the top distributor was going to get. And Pagosh came back from book distribution about midnight. And I called the New York temple, called the Boston temple to find out all the scores. Pagosh had the top score. But Bhakta Jack was just a little bit behind. So I called the GBC and I said, what time does it end for today's marathon?
És akkor felhívtam a GBC-t, és megkérdeztem, hogy igazából mikor van még ennek a maratonnak.
He said, well, I guess to Mangal Arti.
És akkor azt választottam, hogy hát Mangal Arti megy.
So Pagosh had come back, and he put his score in a sheet, and he saw what Bhakta Jack did, and all he was meditating on was that kirtan.
És akkor Prabhupada visszajött, fölírta a táblára az eredményét, látta, hogy a Jack mennyit csinált, és akkor onnantól kezdve másnap után meditált.
So it was a little after midnight, I went upstairs and Bhakta Jack was on the floor. He had already been distributing for about 14 hours.
És akkor kicsit elégre után felmentem a szobájába, a Jackhez, aki már 14 órát osztott aznap könyvet.
So I shook him a little bit, I said, Bhakta Jack.
És kicsit elkezdtem, hogy Jack.
I said, Pagosh came back. And he's only a little bit more than you. If you go out again, and you can beat him.
And
he was exhausted. He was gymming really hard for 14 hours. He jumped up and he said, I hear you. He grabbed his clothes, he grabbed his coat, and he was running out the door. He wasn't even fully dressed. And we jumped in the van and we started looking for people who were walking in the streets in the middle of the night. We were driving up and down the streets to find people, and he would jump out of the van and he would stalk the person.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
We stayed out long enough so that he finally beat Pagosh. Pagosh got up in the morning. He looked at the scorecard, because every day we kept sheets, he kept the records of what everybody and you know, he already knew he won. And he looked and he saw Bhakta Jack and he crossed off and he saw that he distributed like something like 250 books or something like that. He looks at me. What's this? I said, What are you talking about? What's this? What? It's really, his face started getting red. So I told him what happened. I don't want to say any more of what he did. We had to cancel the whole prize for the marathon because he was so angry. He took the clipboard and threw it against the wall. I won't tell you what he said. But the essence is what the kind of work, you know, the kind of labor the devotees would do to please Prabhupada and to give Prabhupada mercy.
De a lényeg, hogy egy bhakta mennyi erőfeszítést tud beletenni abban, hogy elégedett tudjon és jól
próbálja. I have some, I don't know how long you want me to go, some stories, but because devotees want to take rest early tonight, right?
Nem tudom, hogy idő van, hogy történeteket mesélni, mert gondolom, hogy arra akartok pihenni.
This one story that this is an interesting story. This was not a book distribution story directly. But it's an interesting story to show the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. I always used to marvel to see how Prabhupada said his books were like torpedoes because you never know where they're going to land. Prabhupada used to say his books are like torpedoes. You know what a torpedo is? A submarine has this thing that
they show sometimes when they are filming a torpedo.
So I was traveling with Sridhar Maharaj in 1986. And we were traveling together in the kind of the different temples, visiting different temples and doing different programs.
Együtt voltunk, hogy különböző templomokat látogassunk meg, és ott különböző programokat tartsunk.
And one day we had two programs scheduled.
És egyik napon két tervezett programunk volt.
And he was going to do the program in the afternoon at this Indian man's home, and I was going to do a program in the evening at a devotee's home way upstate in Michigan, way up near Saginaw, Michigan. It's really. So it was at a devotee's home. They put up posters around the city, inviting people for a Hare Krishna lecture.
És akkor ez a bakta, aki meghívott bennünket, egy teleplakát ott a várost, hogy jöjjenek el ebben a programban, amit Hare Krishna bakták tartanak.
So we arrived a little bit late because we had to drive a good distance from the first program to the second program.
Kicsit elkéstünk, mert sok ideig tartott, amíg odaértünk az első programról a másodikra.
I immediately sat down and just gave a lecture and then asked if anybody has any questions.
Azonnal leültem, elkezdtem leckét tartani, és akkor végén megkérdeztem, hogy van-e valakinek valami kérdése.
And one person raised his hand and said, I have a question.
És akkor egy személy felemelte a kezét, és akkor mondta, hogy én nekem van egy kérdése.
He said, can you tell me if this is right?
Hogy meg tud nekem, vagy el tud mondani, hogy ez igaz-e?
I want to know if I'm pronouncing this properly.
Nem biztos, hogy jól tudom kimondani.
Then he went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Is that correct? So I said, yes, that's correct. Why do you ask? He said, well, I saw a poster.
This program.
He said that 10 years ago I got this book. He said, and then I sent away for some beads that someone sent me. And I've been chanting on these beads 16 times around for the last 10 years, but I never heard anybody chant the mantra before. I didn't know if I was pronouncing it correctly. This person had been chanting 16 rounds a day for 10 years. He never got a recording. All he got was these beads that someone sent from the BBT sent him in the mail with instructions how to chant on them.
Senki sem hallott még, hogy hogy kell ezt csinálni, csak kapott egy ilyen gyakorlátot a BBT-től egy kis leírását, hogy kell csinálni.
Read the mantra, and he was chanting. He thought he didn't know if he was chanting it properly.
És olvastam a mantrát, és azt énekelte, nem tudta, hogy jól mondja ki egyáltalán vagy nem.
I have another story also of a man who was in prison.
Volt egy másik történet, egy ember, aki börtönben volt.
He was in prison in southern United States for some, I can't remember what he was in prison for.
Nem emlékszem, hogy miért volt a börtönben.
And we were on Harinam in Boston at the time.
Harinam was in Boston.
And we were sitting down, I was playing the harmonium to Bodhis Madanga Cartels, and we were sitting on a mat in Boston Common.
Leültünk egy nyilvános helyen, és akkor én harmoniumoztam, és akkor volt valaki, hogy minden kezdet feladalmazott.
And all of a sudden I see this man approaching, coming towards the Harinam.
És akkor láttam egyszer, hogy jön ez az ember, így ő közelít a Harinam felé.
And he had this look in his eyes, man. He was worried, I thought maybe he looked like a madman or something.
És így kicsit aggódtam, mert olyan személyek voltak, hogy úgy nézett, mint egy őrült.
He was just staring at us.
És akkor így csak bámult
bennünk. He had his arms outstretched and was walking towards us.
És akkor így ki volt nyújtva a keze, hogy jött felénk.
And I was thinking, boy, maybe that she took shelter of the Holy Name, we should prepare for this. What's going to happen?
És akkor gondolkoztam azon, hogy erre most nem vagyok fölkészül, hogy mi fog itt történni.
So that came closer and closer. And the other devotees by this time noticed him also.
És akkor jött közelebb és közelebb az ember, így elnéztem a baktákra, hogy ők is észrevegyék, hogy mi történik.
And then all he came right up to and he fell on the ground with his arms outstretched. He was doing full dandavats. Tears were coming from his eyes. And we looked at him and we said, who are you? And he said, I've been in prison for 20 years. He said, I heard the sound of your cymbals.
És hallottam a cintányátoknak a hangját.
I walked all the way from, he had walked over 1,000 miles.
És
walked the Appalachian Trail up from the southern part of the United States.
És ezen mérföldet utaztam Amerikának egyik részéből a másikba.
He said, do you know I used to read Bhagavad Gita every night in prison?
És tudjátok, hogy minden este börtönben a Bhagavad Gita-t olvastam.
He said he told me how he used to take the toilet paper and roll it really tight and tie knots in it and light it so he had enough light to read at night.
És elmesélte, hogy a WC papírt így nagyon erősen így összesodulta, és akkor azzal volt, hogy fény éjszaka tudjon olvasni.
He said that after I got let me out of prison, I had nothing. I didn't know where to go.
És miután kijöttem a börtönből, semmi sem volt, nem tudtam hova menni.
I just walked.
Csak mentem.
And I've been surviving, living off roots and berries and things that I've been picking in the forest. And I heard the sound of your cymbals. And so when I heard the sound of the cymbals and I heard you chanting this mantra, I
said,
this must be the same people who put out this Bhagavad Gita.
Hogy ezek is gondoltam, hogy ezek ugyanazok az emberek lehetnek, akik eljutották hozzám a Bhagavad Gitát.
So the man, he had walked somewhere around 1,300 miles.
És akkor így nagyon messzire oda jött a Harinamhoz.
And then as he was walking through Boston, he saw the Harinam party. We took him back to the temple.
És akkor bemegy Bostonba, hogy találkoztasson a Harinam csapattal, aztán elvittük a templomba.
He wasn't able to stay, it was too much for him. But still it was another evidence of the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. I remember one day I was a traveling sankirtan and we were checking into a motel. This was later years when we stopped sleeping in the van and started using motel rooms.
Ez már azután volt, hogy abba hagytuk, hogy a mikrobuszba álljunk, és akkor így motel szobák alatt.
We used to rent a single room for one person.
Kibéreltünk egy szobát egy személyre.
Then I would go in early and take all the furniture and put it up against the wall.
És akkor én voltam, aki előre bement, és a bőrövet széttoltam a falhoz.
Take a sheet, put it all over the floor, across the floor.
Fogtam egy ilyen lepedőt, leterítettem.
And then I'd pick up all the Sankirtan devotees, and then, you know, sometimes 7-8 of us would pack into the room. We, one at a time, we'd sneak out of the van and go into the room. Because we didn't want to waste Krishna's Lakshmi. The last thing we wanted to do in those days was waste Krishna's Lakshmi. So these were the days when we started becoming a little less austere and we weren't sleeping in the vans anymore. So I checked into the hotel and the person sitting behind the desk, he had a fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam open with notes, and he had a notebook, he was taking notes.
És bejelentkeztem a hotelszobába, és az az ember, aki ott fogadott, az ötödik ének volt előtte nyitva, és ilyen jegyzetek voltak beleírva.
And I looked down and I said, what are you reading?
És akkor én benéztem, és kérdeztem, mit olvasol?
No, I got this book in the airport, and I'm trying to figure out this universe, how it's structured.
És mondtam, hogy én kaptam ezt a könyvet, és most próbálom így összerakni, hogy hogy ezek az univerzum.
Notebook, he had all kinds of notes, he was detailed, everything he was reading in Prabhupada
Bhagavatam.
And I said to him, that's very difficult to figure out.
So he said,
how do you know anything about this? I said, I got all the books that you're supposed to read before you read that book out in the van. You'll never be able to figure it out to read all these books. So I went out to the van, I got a copy of all the books we had and I handed them to him.
I
can't remember the books we had. We had Bhagavad Gita and we had Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I convinced him to take all the books. It's just like the power. You know, who was it? Where did we just hear that? The Prabhupada said the book sellers. Oh, from Mula Prakriti last night. That when Mula Prakriti was telling, Prabhupada was telling Mula Prakriti, opened up the book, this Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Purana has risen, you know, to shine, to destroy the ignorance of Kali
Yuga.
Prabhupada said these books can sell themselves.
So I
was very much amazed to see how many people during those years really saturating America with Srila Prabhupada's books. People were, of course, there's always casualties and people will throw books away, but people were reading Prabhupada's books.
És meglepődve tapasztaltam ezek alatt az évek alatt, hogy az emberek, hogy sok ember mennyire tisztel és megbocsátja Prabhupádnak a könyveit. Persze vannak, akik eldobják őket, de nagyon sokan pedig olvassák és megbecsülik ezeket.
Anyways, these are little stories. I can think of other stories, but maybe it's getting late and we should probably do Dhamma Dharasana. So.
And you were done, please say it, and make to that master of the Nagat Mashiach in the Nagat Mashiach.
Some of my remembrances of book distribution done and during those years in the 1970s when everybody was mad distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And we should never think that extra special mercy is not there, it's not there now. We should know that Prabhupada definitely was pleased. All the evidence has been given by our devotees who personally associated with Srila Prabhupada and knew what pleased him. It was the evidence is clear that Prabhupada was very much pleased to see his books distributed.
Tudunk el azt, amit ő, mindenki, aki kapcsolatban állt, Srila Prabhupada személyesen, úgyhogy osztotta a könyvét, ő maga is bizonyított, hogy Srila Prabhupada mennyire elégedett akkor, amikor osztják a könyveit.
Srila Shiva Maharaj is giving you all opportunity right now to give a little extra special mercy.
Srila Maharaj most megadja nektek is ezt a különleges lehetőséget, hogy megkaphassátok ezt a különleges kegyet.
Go out in your vehicles and just remember how pleased Prabhupada is and how he used to smile from ear to ear to hear the book distribution results. Even when Prabhupada was apparently physically and so sick, the book distribution results just said, it gives me life.
Amikor Srila Prabhupada már fizikálisan gyenge volt, akkor is mindig mondta, hogy a könyvosztásnak az eredményei azok jelentik számára az életet.
As long as Srila Prabhupada's books are being distributed and read and worshipped,
addig, amikor Srila Prabhupada könyvei osztva, olvasva és imádva vannak,
Prabhupada will live with us.
Prabhupada velünk fog élni.
He'll live in our hearts.
Velünk fog élni a szívünkben.
He'll capture our hearts. Stay, we'll never leave.
És így elkapja a szívünket, és ott élni.
We should not only distribute these books and read them, but we should worship them with great awe and reverence.
Nem csak osztanunk kell ezeket a könyveket, hanem imádnunk és olvasnunk is.
I remember one time I was sitting with Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj.
Emlékszek egyszer Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj után.
And he was having a very animated discussion with me about Prabhupada's books.
És egy nagyon mély beszélgetésünk volt Srila Prabhupada könyveiről.
And sometimes when he would speak, he would be very animated, very
emotional. Nagyon ilyen határozottan, meg nagyon ilyen erőteljesen beszélt.
He took Prabhupada's book and he opened it up and said, Maharaj, everything is here in Prabhupada's books.
És felvette Prabhupada az egyik könyvét, és mondta, hogy Maharaj, itt van minden Prabhupada könyveiben.
I said, you just have to become expert to mine the jewels that are all there in Prabhupada's books.
Csak szakértőké kell válnunk, hogy ki tudjuk bányászni a lelkületet Prabhupada könyvéből.
Every word is perfectly presented.
Minden szó tökéletesen van bemutatva.
And if we just simply dig in deep and find the jewels of Prabhupada's books, we'll find everything we need to know for the perfection of life is there.
And csak le kell lássunk, hogy megtaláljuk ezeket a lelkületet, és rájuk az élet tökéletességére ezekben a könyveknek.
He said it in such a convincing way. And then in a very animated way he started telling me these different pastimes and connections of the place he was pointing to in Prabhupada's books. It was very convincing to me that Prabhupada has given us everything in his books, and if we just simply go on distributing them, people's lives will change.
Hogy ki kell mennünk osztani Prabhupádnak a könyveit, hogy megváltoztassa az emberek életét.
Same transformation that we all experience in our own hearts will could take place in other people's hearts by coming in contact with all those books.
Ugyanaz a változás, amit mi magunkban tapasztaltunk, ugyanaz fog inkább hajtódni mások szívében, és akkor kapcsolatot kerülni Prabhupád könyveivel.
I have one more short story I think Srila Maharaj would like to hear because it's about somebody who wants you all.
Van még egy rövid történet, amivel nem arányítom ezt kifogni, és vele nem még nem van.
It was about, maybe about 1991.
Ez azt hiszem, 1991-ben volt.
I was GBC in Montreal at that time.
GBC voltam akkor.
And I was writing my Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada.
És ültem is Srila Prabhupádnak írtam a Vyasa Puja felajánlásra.
And nothing was coming down.
És semmi se épült eszembe.
I don't know if you ever had this experience. It was time to write the Vyasa Puja offering and you sit down and you're looking for words and just nothing's coming.
Nem tudom, kinek volt már ilyen tapasztalat, hogy a Vyasa Puja felajánlás képít, és nem jött az eszébe.
And you're just staring at a blank screen or staring at a blank piece of paper and thinking, wow.
És csak az ember egy üres képen, még egy üres papírlap előtt, és csak mondja, hogy
So the temple president came to me and told me, he said, Maharaj, there's a very nice man that's here. Gopal Krishna Maharaj can't speak to him because he's going out, he has an appointment. Would you like to speak to him? He says that he comes here every once in a while, and I think he'd like to, he would definitely like to meet you. Maybe you can answer his questions. And I didn't want to go because I was already missing my deadline for the Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering. So he said, please, please, just answer his questions, take a little time to talk to him. So I said, okay, I'll go. So I went into the front room of our temple there in Pinouf Avenue in Montreal. There was a little reception room, and I sat down and introduced myself to the gentleman. And then from the moment I sat down, the man started talking about Prabhupada. He said, do you know I met your spiritual master, Prabhupada? He said, do you know I was the commissioner of the police during the time when Prabhupada came here, when your Prabhupada came here, and I can't remember what year it was. He was the commissioner of police, and he happened to see Prabhupada at the airport when he arrived in Montreal. He said, if I would have only submitted myself to him then, but I didn't. He said, do you know how many times I've read Bhagavad Gita? He said, I've read it 35 times. He pulled it out of his pocket. He says, you know, I never go anywhere without this Bhagavad Gita. When my wife goes shopping, she goes into the store, she takes hours. She thinks I'm disturbed because I have to sit in the car and wait for her. I don't care, let her take hours. I've got my Bhagavad Gita. I just sit and read this Bhagavad Gita. He says, do you know my wife, she also knows about Prabhupada. You know, every night we sit and read Prabhupada Lilamrita. And she has to hear, we read it together. And he would go on speaking about Prabhupada and speaking about Prabhupada, and it went on for like about 30 minutes. I said, this person's got no questions. Why did the temple president ask me to come and speak to him and answer his questions? And then the man said, after 30 minutes of glorifying Prabhupada, he said, my wife needs to be picked up now. I have to go. It says, it's been very nice talking with you. And I started escorting him towards the door, and he stopped at the door and he started saying something else about Prabhupada again. We just stood there at the doorway for about another 10 minutes as he was telling something that he had seen at that time when Prabhupada had come at the airport about Prabhupada. He was describing how Prabhupada looked so regal and so beautiful to him. And then he just said, I have to go, my wife, I have to pick her up. He said, it's been really nice talking to you, thank you so much. And then he left. And then I realized when I went back to sit down to write my Vyasa Puja offering, my whole Vyasa Puja offering was just written. All I had to do is just that whole experience I had.
I
realized how Prabhupada is capturing so many souls and transforming their lives. People love
Prabhupada.
I know, you can look back at the old books, I have this whole Vyas Puja thing telling this whole story about this commissioner of police. Can he use the commissioner of police? Anyway, such is the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. So, thank you for giving me this opportunity to tell you a little bit these stories. And you're all very fortunate that I pray that you'll give me the opportunity to give you to have your association when you come back from your marathon. I'll be very eager to hear all your stories and your realizations from Mr. Srila Prabhupada's books, because I'll be here for your festival. Singing? Oh, done the rest.